Hi, I'm Shelby Mass from USA Today, and I'm here today with some of the top college basketball bracketologists out there. We're broadcasting from TuneIn Studios in Venice Beach, California. TuneIn will carry every single March Madness game through Westwood One, so download the free app to listen. You can follow me on Twitter at BracketWag, and let's introduce the rest of the panel today.
I'm Zach Helfand. I cover UCLA for the Los Angeles Times, and you can follow me on Twitter at ZHelfand.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm Tyler Tynes. I cover college basketball for SB Nation, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tyler Ricky Tynes.
Hi, I'm Ian Powers. I'm the bracket guru for the New York Daily News. You can follow me at Bracket Guru on Twitter.
All right, guys.
On the Twitter.
Let's start this one off, since we're in California. Who got in that didn't necessarily deserve it?
I think that one is directed at me.
It sure is.
Yeah. UCLA was pretty shocking, I think, for most people. They beat maybe two good teams in Oregon and Utah, and other than that, had a good schedule, but didn't really beat anyone on that non-conference schedule. They lost to Kentucky by about a million points, so I think that was a shock for most people.
7 points in the first half, too.
Right, yes, and they didn't score until Kentucky had scored 24.
Yeah, so that was ugly. My problem with what the committee chairman said about UCLA was that they were gaining steam coming down the end.
What is steam? What is that? How do we quantify steam?
I don't know, because they went 4-3 after beating Oregon. That, to me, does not...
Is that steam?
I don't think so.
I went 4-3 in my local high school basketball league, and they told me I couldn't play anymore.
All right, so there you go.
They have, I can say, watching them play day in, day out, they have played a lot better now.
Right.
They played a bad game against Arizona State. That was the one game they probably should have won. They played really well against Arizona, and I think that helped them. Whether or not you could say you could get helped out by two losses, that's interesting. But they have definitely been playing better.
I would agree with that, but considering how bad it was early in the year, I don't think it could get much worse, could it?
Probably not earlier in the year.
No.
They didn't lose any games against really bad teams. That's the one thing that could have gone worse.
Yes.
But other than that, not really much.
Okay.
Kind of almost the Texas syndrome in there. Like, you know, they scheduled well, and their conference gave them a battle every night. But to me, UCLA and Temple had a just too similar of resumes to count out Temple if you're going to compare two teams. The Temple had a home win against Kansas, and UCLA,
which for the record, was awesome. It was awesome.
And they're supposed to weigh injuries. They're supposed to weigh, Temple's dealt with some injuries during the season, and that kind of brought them back a little bit. UCLA, sometimes I heard Jay Billis say, you know, like some coaches can game the RPI.
Bill Self.
And I thought, and Temple maybe games the RPI too, but if getting Kansas to come into your own gym, there's no gaming of the RPI needed there.
And the thing is that game was extremely big for a win for Temple, not just because they didn't really play too many teams this year, but it was more so the fact that they hadn't beat Kansas since Will Cummings was a freshman. And when they lost to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, they lost by 4 points. So the thing was that Temple win was so big, you never see Temple actually storm a court at the Wells Fargo Center. That's unheard of. You see a storied franchise and program like this, they don't do things like that. So to be that down, be 9-22 a year before, you have Fran Dunphy turn it around with a 23-9 win before they go into the conference tournament and be the coach of the year in the American, for him to have that much success and bring so many different players in, Devin Coleman and Jesse Morgan, who have been amazing three-point shooters and added so much depth to this team, and adding a new starter, for them not to get into the tournament, it seems more of a snub, similar to synonymous to the SMU thing last year. But I can understand it because they didn't play too many good teams. But to put UCLA in because they have steam, and another team in because of I don't really know what, that was battered and banged up almost all season, it just doesn't seem too, I mean, fair, I don't really care about fair, but it doesn't seem too right.
I agree with that. I don't think UCLA did enough this year to be in one, but if you're going to be in, they should at the very least be one of the last two teams in a play-in game.
I could actually see them getting in. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. But now that you think about it, Temple and them are pretty comparable. Other than that, you can't really make too strong a case for any other team. I think it's probably a toss-up. But for them to be in safely,
they and to were be the, in 11 and not a play-in.
Not in Dayton,
in the main bracket.
They
yeah.
were yes. the fifth to last team in the field. That's pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it is.
That's what's
really
surprising.
Because that means if UConn wins against SMU, then UCLA is still in a play-in game,
yeah.
but still safely in. There needed to be a lot of bid thieves, and there just weren't.
Wyoming. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how much an 11 seed costs these days. I mean, I'm trying to get a band of brothers together, get a good group of guys, go to In-N-Out Burger, and just get that 11 seed for us. I mean, we can raise the money. We'll start something. We'll raise some money. I want an 11 seed.
I almost found myself rooting for UConn so that you don't have these decisions on some of the bubble teams. But
I'm at a point now. The tournament is 68 teams. I wish it was back to 64, but with it at 68. There's no team out there that really can argue and scream that they got snubbed, because you know what you got to do. You got to win. You got to schedule good. And, you know, Colorado State, I think they've been yelling the most that I've seen. They were a nice team, but their top wins were in their conference, so it was they don't control that schedule. Mm-hmm. Go outside your conference and play good teams. You don't have to win them all, but – challenge yourself. That's what the committee wants. That's what you need to try to do.
And to top that, from entertainment value, if you as a team don't go outside of that non-conference schedule and play good teams, play those entertaining games, or even if you lose those games, if you're the committee, you kind of say to yourself from an entertainment value, even before basketball, that if we put you in this field at 68, how are people actually going to want to watch you play if you haven't shown that you can actually compete at that level? You know, like if you're a team who hasn't really played any non-conference, like, are you prepared to play these other teams? If you're a 12 seed, are you prepared to play a very good 5 seed? Like that's kind of the thing for me as well. Like, not only do you want to deserve to be there, I want to see some good basketball.
And so, I think we know now. You know if you don't get in and you didn't play a good schedule, that's your fault. You've seen SMU last year.
Mm-hmm.
You see it this year. You saw what happened to UCLA because they played a good schedule. So if you don't get in next year and you didn't play anyone non-conference, don't complain, because it's your fault.
So is the committee putting UCLA in to kind of justify leaving SMU out last year?
Yeah, well, you know.
Maybe. I don't think so, but, you know, the other end of the spectrum. SMU did not play a tough schedule last year, and they didn't get in. I didn't have a problem with that. I think they were a good team. But UCLA did play a tougher schedule, and they're being rewarded for it.
I think they're making it very clear what they want, and they want a tough schedule, which is good. It's good for basketball.
I have no
and
problem
your team's
with
not going to get better by playing bad teams.
No, you're not. And like, I understand SMU last year, they had a young team, so you don't want to throw them to the dog, so to speak. Schedule games that are winnable games, get your team going, but in the end it hurt them. And now this year, well, we see what has happened. They scheduled a lot better, but they won the tournament, so it didn't matter. Anybody else stand out as a snub?
No.
I don't think so. Teams?
Yeah.
It's not too many to choose from after that.
Anybody else got in that you don't feel should be in?
Besides UCLA.
UCLA is the only – we've debated the one team, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the only other one I could throw out there, and this is nitpicking, is BYU.
Okay.
They're a good team. I like BYU. I'm glad they're in. I think the tournament is better with them in. But their non-conference schedule wasn't fantastic, and they have one really good win, and that's it.
But then America got to find out who Kyle Collinsworth was, and that is just so essential to my daily needs to know him.
What?
To know he's a triple-double machine, and to have ESPN pundits call him a Russell Westbrook kind of guy, which is just hilarious in every single right. This is what we want. We want these kind of players in the NCAA tournament, don't we? Well, I want to see 26 and 26.
I don't think that matters.
No, it doesn't.
But BYU, the one win at Gonzaga. Temple had the win over Kansas. BYU didn't have any other wins over any other team in the tournament. So if there's somebody going to argue out there about a team being in that shouldn't, that would be one I think that could raise a few eyebrows.
I would almost hop on what Tyler was saying about an entertainment value. BYU plays a very attractive offensive style, mm-hmm. I would say. And so they're going to put up points compared to the way the NCAA – this is one of the worst offensive displays in NCAA history this year, and you need teams like BYU that is capable of going out there and scoring 80 points, I think, to kind of, you know, keep people glued to the TVs.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but that is not in the procedures and principles.
No, that's true.
You will never hear a committee member say, that's why we put them in.
Yeah.
because we want to watch them.
They got their rules.
If, talking about schedule, Temple played a better non-conference schedule than BYU.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Maybe they should be in ahead of them.
Maybe.
There you go.
Something to talk about. All right, let's look at our brackets. Who best first-round matchup for everybody?
Wichita State-Indiana is could be a compelling matchup. The backcourts are the Wichita State backcourt of Cotton, Van Vliet, and Baker are just a veteran group, and they've been to a Final Four. And Indiana, which is a team that people were debating whether they should be getting into the tournament at some going into the week, they probably didn't. They did enough to stay out of our discussion, the Hoosiers. But I'd say that's my favorite first round matchup.
I love that game. I think that's going to be a great game. I'm looking at Utah Stephen F. Austin.
That's what I'm looking at too.
We saw what Stephen F. Austin could do last year, right? And Utah is really interesting to me right now. They've got Jacob Pertl. Jakob, I guess. Yeah. He goes by. They've got DeLon Wright, who is really great. I love watching DeLon Wright play. But we saw what Stephen F. Austin could do. I think that's going to be a good game. I think Utah could be going out soon.
For me, it's definitely NC State LSU. That's going to be a great, great game. Two great front courts. Jarrell Martin, Jordan Mickey. I mean, great front courts. Hornsby's an amazing three-point shooter. I mean, there's so much talent in that LSU team, and you saw that in that game they had with Kentucky when they took him down to the wire, just missed that last-second shot. I mean, you got a kid doing beneath-the-leg dunks in game-time action. I mean, how much more exciting can you get than that? And then on the other side of that, an NC State team that still retains a lot of that 12-seed team from last year, Ralston Turner and Trevor Lacey and Anthony Cat Barber, who's had an amazing turnaround year, plus B.J. Anya, who blocks shots and then takes his teeth out of his mouth. You can't really get... a better, funnier, just this is a really good team who's had so many top wins this year, but just hasn't been able to put it all together. So for me, this is a team that has they've got the juice to kind of make a run. You know, if they get a win over LSU, I think they get that next one over Villanova. And just because we don't like Rick Pitino, would love to see them get that win after that.
Tyler, you're not doing any through the legs dunks in that rec league.
I mean, the hoop's 5 feet tall, so
that's a no.
Would you not?
And another one that I would look at is. I like, you know, a team that beat NC State, Wofford, against Arkansas. I think Arkansas was maybe a little underseeded, but that could be a tough matchup for them. And I love Mike Anderson, who, you know, embraces the Nolan Richardson in 40 Minutes of Hell as best he can. Another entertaining team to watch, I would say. So that could be a very close matchup.
Another good game could be UNC-Harvard, a 4-seed versus a 13-seed. I mean, Tommy Amaker's squad, they just know how to turn it on when it comes to tournament time. Siani Chambers is a great guard for Ivy League play. Even though UNC, again, hasn't been another hot and cold team, they've put it together lately and have looked good lately. Justin Jackson specifically has looked good lately. 22 points the other day, I think, was a career high for him. So UNC could either get knocked out early or they could make a run. I mean, but if Harvard wins that game, we don't really expect them to make a run, but it should be closer than we kind of expect it to be.
I could see UNC going out there. Harvard, they play defense. If shut down UNC, could happen.
And Harvard is 1.2 seconds away from not being in the tournament too. Yes. They need to thank Dartmouth. They were that close to being out. I like all those games y'all brought up. The LSU, North Carolina State, which teams are going to show up? Those teams have been somewhat bipolar this year. The LSU wins at Arkansas on the three at the buzzer and then loses to Auburn. Week before that, lost to Tennessee. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get. NC State's a little bit the same way. They've got some bad losses, but they've got some fantastic wins. So that could be a blowout game. That could be a very close.
And whoever wins that game could give Villanova
40 slips.
Quite a tussle in that second round match. So.
And it's really the fact, and that I mean, I've covered them for most of the year. That's the team I look at the most, and they just struggle so much when it comes to a height advantage. And when you have a very good guard that can take away the perimeter, you look at those matchups. And Ryan Arcega-Jackineau, who is a great hustle player, a great spot up 3-point shooter, he's not a very good perimeter defender. So we've seen in so many different games this year, watching this team, that for example, they blew out St. John's by 37, but D'Angelo Harrison was manning Ryan Arcega-Jackineau for the first four plays of the game. He went and got 8 points. They switched him off D. So Jay Wright has done a lot of good defensive switching. What they do in that kind of that 1-2-1 high or whatever they really run, that pressing offense, that 3-4 court press, is that they do a lot of defensive rotations and will switch. But no one takes that bait for some reason, they'll get Ochefu coming up high against a guard, and we've only seen Chris Dunn really this year take advantage of all of those poor mismatches. So if you get a team that can run some very good high screen and roll, can do some penetration pick and pop, they're going to be a team that's going to take these guys to the wire.
Any other games stand out besides all of them?
Maybe I'm just saying this because I'm going to be there, but UCLA SMU is
go
is,
Ponies.
Yeah, that's really an interesting 11-6 game because UCLA is not normally an 11 seed, and they're playing well. You know, for all the crap we've just given them, they're not a bad team.
No,
and they could beat SMU. And SMU, their best player, Nick Moore, has been shooting something like 27% in March. And he's a streaky shooter. If he's not shooting well, UCLA could win that game.
Yeah, and to me, it comes down to that front court for SMU as well. Marcus Kennedy is one of the best passing bigs in America, even though he comes off the bench. Yannick Murray is one of the best rebounding bigs for being a skinny 6'11 kid coming off an ACL injury. One of the best rebounding bigs in America. And I think it's really underrated how good that front court is, even though they lost Keith Frazier, even though Nick Morrison playing bad. It's very underrated how well they can attack that glass and really eat up all that glass and eat up all the rebounds. So if they can control the glass, get out and transition and leak out, that could be a game where SMU takes it early, or we could see a game that's going to be an SMU game that where they don't score. So, I mean, that's a great game to look at.
And Larry Brown coaching against UCLA.
That's right.
That'll ruffle some feathers, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
All the storylines, all of them.
I know it. All right, who do we got for biggest upset? First round and then second round. I'm sorry, round of 64 and then round of 32.
I think it's a little too cliche right now, but Eastern Washington over Georgetown has been a popular pick, I think. Maybe too popular.
Yeah, we all love Eastern Washington.
That worries me now, so they're not going to win.
Lock, they're going to lose.
Okay.
Which I'd be great with because I'm trying to see those Georgetown Hoyas pick up at least one win, right. At least.
Tyler Harvey, though, he could score. He could score a lot. He'll probably score more points than SMU if that game gets pretty sluggish. But or maybe probably Northern Iowa, too. You could throw them in there. But he could score a lot. So
do we even consider a 12 beating a 5 an upset anymore?
We don't because it's so frequent, but we do at the same time.
I don't know. I mean, yes, numbers-wise, how many 12s win this year first round?
I've got two 12s winning. I've got right in that same bracket right there with Georgetown, Eastern Washington. I've got Eastern Washington facing Stephen F. Austin right in that second round.
I've got that too.
One 12-13 match. I'll take Wyoming in that game over Northern Iowa. I'm not really sold on anybody but Seth Tuttle, honestly. But Wyoming's playing healthy for the first time in maybe, what, 6 or 7 games. Mm-hmm. Larry Nance Jr. is a stud. Yes. So I want to see Wyoming take that game. Other than that, I don't see too many 5 or 12s. But one matchup that would be a great upset, Texas versus Butler. We're talking about teams who can't score the basketball. Butler is one of those teams that struggles consistently scoring the basketball. Either it's going to be a barrage of threes, it's going to be a great inside-out game, or it's going to be Roosevelt Jones going 3 for 21 and nobody scoring the basketball. They don't have great point guard play, so they can't really move the ball too well. But defensively, they're top 20 in the country in defensive efficiency and defensive play as well. So it's hard to look at that Butler team as what they're going to be, but they're going to be an early exit. They're going to be a first-weekend team.
I think so, too. I've got 3 12 seeds winning, and Wyoming is the one I don't have. I think Buffalo and Stephen F. Austin are Sweet 16 capable teams. That's what I got. It's going to happen. I mean, twice in the last 21 years it has not happened? Mm-hmm. So law of averages.
So numbers and stuff, guys.
I mean, the separation, it's really with the parity in the game today now, the difference between the 5 and 12 when you just list them 1 through 68 really isn't that much.
No, it's not. And these 5 seeds could very easily be 7 seeds. These 12 seeds could be 10 seeds. Mm-hmm. And then the numbers kind of even out a little bit more.
Right. For second round upset games, I mean, I've been very vocal about NC State over Villanova. I actually have NC State going all the way to the Elite Eight.
That's just crazy talk.
I know. I'm a crazy kid. But they got the juice, man. And when you got the juice, you don't share the juice. You drink the juice. So NC State's got it.
They're building steam, you're saying, then.
They're building steam.
We got you.
I think I'm really intrigued by this Michigan State-Virginia potential second round. Virginia's really good.
They are.
Michigan State in March is always really good. And this isn't a great Tom Izzo team.
No.
But they played really well in the Big Ten tournament. They almost beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They probably should have if they called the out-of-bounds call right.
Right. There's several people I have seen picking Michigan State to somebody I was talking to last night. They've got Michigan State in the Final Four.
And it, you can never put Michigan State in the Final Four and it be crazy.
It's Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Tom Izzo. And the thing here is that Virginia's been playing bad basketball as of late. Well, bad for them
for
basketball
them. Right.
as of late. And they're another team that doesn't really get it going crazy offensively, even though their numbers suggest that they're doing fine, even though they only score about 50 or 60 points a game. But when you play such a great pack line defense, and when it comes to, first of all, it's a defense that not many teams run ever. Like you can have a team in a year, no one runs a pack line defense. For them, they run it so well every year. Their strength and conditioning program there is might arguably be the best in the country for how built their kids are, but they don't have to light it up on you. They will wear you down for 40 minutes and just be great at it. And, I mean, they could either be
Game of attrition, yeah.
Exactly. They could either be a first-weekend kind of team or—
How many teams did they hold under 40 points?
Definitely. I know it was Florida State.
It was a few.
Wake Forest, I believe, too, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how Justin Anderson gets a little bit more involved in the offense. Yes. I mean, he played two games in the ACC tournament and scored 0 points in 26 minutes. I've got to see him. He was their leading scorer when he broke his pinky.
Yeah.
I've got to see him get more involved. I mean, Brogdon's picked up a little bit more of the on the offensive end, but they have these games like where they had one field goal in the first 14 minutes at Syracuse, if you're watching that game. Luckily,
that game.
Syracuse is not Syracuse. Right. I mean, if that's Kentucky, they're down 28-2. I mean, at that point
like
in the game.
Like UCLA was.
It's
exactly.
But that's another thing you have to look at as well, because Kentucky can go on those same scoring droughts. They don't have good guards this year. So the thing for them is that if the focus is always on the front court, but even though this team defensively is probably one of the better basketball teams that we are going to see in the 21st century, defense-wise. They're so long. They've got a bunch of different type of height, a bunch of different length. But the thing is that they don't have good guards. They don't have – I mean, the Harrison twins
their
went from a lottery pick to
is,
late second-round guys.
Euliss is their playmaker more than anything. And then – I mean, but the Harrison's been out there on the defensive end, their length on the perimeter. Like, they give you length on the perimeter. They defend the rim. It's just – it's crazy.
And
it's,
their size is massive. Versus anyone.
It's massive. And for me, that's why I'm not too sold on Kentucky yet, which sounds crazy. But when you have all of these teams in a poor power conference in the SEC taking you to double overtime, Texas A&M is taking you to a double overtime game. Ole Miss is taking you to the wire. LSU is taking you to the wire. Are you serious? You're supposed to be the anointed 40-0 team, the best basketball team we've seen since UNLV and those Duke teams and whatever other different stories, you know, people that are older than me make up about these great teams that I haven't seen. But it's the thing that I'm not sold on a team that is going to double overtime with scrub SEC basketball teams. And that's just the truth.
Even though they haven't lost, they find a way to win.
Hey, Villanova went, what, 30-2 all through last year and lost?
I mean,
it happens.
I don't have the score in front of me, but what was the Kansas game was 73-40
or something like that.
I mean,
yeah.
They've been bored.
I agree.
Yeah.
They look bored in some of these games, and they get pushed like the Georgia game. They needed it like they oh no we might lose this game, and then all of a sudden they go on like a 12-2 run and they're okay. That's in that their defense and their transition is just so. If you let them get in a like Arkansas thrives in transition. Well, they found a team that thrives a little bit better in transition than they do. So it's
not discrediting this team at all. This team is absolutely amazing, stocked with talent. Yes. But it's hard for me to see a team like I compare this team like to that LeBron James Miami Heat team where it looked like they were bored. They turned it on. They were amazing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that those are NBA players,
right?
And these are
well,
kids.
So is Kentucky.
supposedly, but I have them actually losing in the Sweet 16 in Maryland because Maryland's got great guards and a great scoring punch, and you're matching that up against guys who can't produce in the backcourt. But the thing is that if that front court gets going, they win that game. But you get a team against good guards, I've got Maryland going all the way to the Final Four. I love that Maryland team. I've loved them all year. I've loved what Mark Turgeon's done with the program in a turnaround year with all these great four-star and five-star recruits. In the recruits that he loses, still making something out of nothing with Melo Trimble. Des Wells coming back off an injury, played great. I want to see Kentucky get pushed by a team that's not an SEC team and not Kansas either.
Talking about an underseeded team, Maryland. I mean, that team, that resume was a three-seed written all over.
Yeah, I had three-seed there.
They win the Big Ten, there are two. I mean, it's
– Do you think they got – knocked because of the Michigan State loss?
But yeah, but I think people are just based on just the RPI numbers, maybe they did. And we know Michigan State's a pretty strong RPI team as well. But Maryland, I was thinking, like, if there was a team that was going to move into the two line, Maryland was one of them. And I'm surprised. I mean, Melo Trimble is one of the best point guards in the country. And
did not even expect it.
And
expect him to be good. Yeah. Did not expect him to be elitely just great. Yeah. Didn't expect it.
And Des Wells is just can take over a game. He took over the Wisconsin game earlier this year.
I think in our preseason projections, USA Today, we had Maryland as one of those. I think we put him in as like a last four in.
Weren't sold. A lot of people did.
Yeah.
They were probably the most surprising team of the year.
As far as good, yes, I would agree with that. They were
new league and dominating, you know, half that schedule.
Then you lose, what was it, maybe 2 5-star recruits that you had to different off-court issues, at least one, or maybe another 4-star. You didn't have Deion Wiley, another 4-star play all year, who's a great shooter, and you didn't expect Melo Trimble to be that good. Mm-hmm. You didn't. And then you lose 2 or 3 guys to transfers. You didn't expect this team to actually put anything together in a tough ACC. And out of nowhere, they're a 4 seed, should be a 3 seed, could have been a 2 seed, and have played amazing basketball and beat a team that I've gotten the national championship game. So it's college basketball, guys. It's unreal.
It's madness. All right, let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk regions. Who you got as the toughest region and the weakest, and why?
I'm thinking the West is the toughest region by far. If you look at the top 4 seeds, Wisconsin, Arizona, who probably has a claim on a one seed discussion as well. Baylor 3 and North Carolina 4. A lot of people are really hot on North Carolina right now. The talent is undeniable. And I just the Roy Williams teams of the last few years, just I can't see them putting 3-4 games together is my problem with that mix. They did it in the ACC tournament for a couple of games, but I have a little bit of a problem. We'll see. Marcus Page has definitely elevated his game this season.
Yeah, because so he was kind of a disappointment earlier in the year. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's too harsh of a word, but big things were expected and big things were not given.
Yeah.
He was all right.
And also in that Western region is a 10-seed Ohio State team, which they don't have a great supporting cast around D'Angelo, but you still have D'Angelo.
It pains me so much because they're so he is so exciting to watch. And it's a shame because he's scoring 20 a game, and there's a 10-point drop-off after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't have a 10-point drop-off in your starting lineup. I think it's Slam Thompson scores maybe 10.3 a game after that, and there's just not enough pieces there. They probably lose that second game. They do a mini upset for a 10-for-7 over VCU, who loses Briante Weber, and it just looked discombobulated all year after that injury. Villanova trashed them at Madison Square Garden earlier in the year, and that was very unexpected. At least to me, it was extremely unexpected.
And that was with Weber, so. Right.
And that was with Weber.
Well, and then but VCU did win the A-10 tournament. They look like they kind of maybe got it back going.
Nah, but it's this year's A-10.
Well, when he went,
it's an iffy league. To me, it's an iffy league.
When Weber went down, people were like comparing it to, does this affect their seed like Kenyon Martin when Cincinnati, when he broke his leg in the A-10 mm-hmm. tournament, and or the Conference USA tournament, excuse me. And Briante Weber got hurt early enough in the season, I think, that Shaka has figured it out a little bit more. And they showed at the A-10 tournament. Yeah, I think the rest of the A-10 maybe is a little weaker than you would expect. But they're making the run at the right time. And everybody loves it. Again, another 40 minutes of hell kind of team. I mean, the way that they crush you.
But the weird part with that was that at the same time, it's not like this team lost a bunch of – like, you lost your best point guard. You lost probably the best defensive guard in America. Yeah, I get that. But you still got 5-star Terry Larrier who came in there. You still got Travion Graham. You still got Mo Alie-Cox. You still got a bunch of depth on this team. I mean, yeah, there were games they couldn't put it together. What, they lose by 26 to Davidson or something like that? Mm-hmm. There are games they couldn't put it together. But Shaka Smart is one of the most brilliant young coaches there is right now. If there's any team that goes through such a turmoil by losing a star player, I would think Shaka can kind of put it together, and he has. I just think D'Angelo Russell's going to abuse them at point guard.
Could D'Angelo do a Shabazz this year?
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
He's too young to do that.
Shabazz was a senior, right? But he had a better team around him. But nobody expected UConn to do anything last year, and nobody really expects Ohio State to do anything this year.
But do we expect UConn to do something this year? Boat versus the world.
With all those NBA scouts at every game that D'Angelo plays, and sometimes I think, you know.
Yo, shout out Phil Jackson. Shout him out.
Oh, man. Stop talking, Phil. Stop talking.
Do I get fined for that? I'm just here so I don't
That's
get
a good
fined.
Kid.
I think we all agree that the West is probably the toughest region. I think so. Still, for anybody other than Kentucky to win the Midwest, that would be the biggest upset of
the decade. I'd love every single second of it. And I'm thinking the Midwest might be yay much tougher because of the 16, there are 8 teams who can possibly make a run to a Sweet 16. And that's how good the West is. A, Kentucky, so you're already trumping that. Maryland in there, as well as a Texas team that could maybe get to a Sweet 16. Maybe.
Notre Dame.
Maybe.
We haven't talked about Notre Dame yet.
Notre Dame's
been
great. Yeah. It's been absolutely amazing. Kansas. It's hard to discredit the West as well. But to me, the East is the easiest bracket.
I think
it's the easiest side to come. An 8 seed, an 8 or 9 can maybe make a run to an Elite 8. That's the problem. If Villanova wins that game, Villanova's probably going to the Final Four or the Elite 8. And there's really nobody in that
just
side.
Because, the other side of the bracket is
Oklahoma has committee been pretty, Oklahoma's
fixed
pretty
that.
Good.
Oklahoma's a good team.
They're a good team. They,
Buddy Hield.
Yeah, they're.
Bless them.
You don't. I mean,
Lon Kruger coaches is a one of those tournament coaches.
Yeah,
you know,
took Florida to the Final Four way back when
against my Boston College. Yeah, that was
sorry. but they, I mean, their record is not spectacular. I think they've got 10 losses, 9 losses, but the amount of wins over the top 50, you wouldn't necessarily think about it. You start looking at their profile, it's like, wow, that's really impressive.
And the thing is that they're not coming from the Big East, the WCC, the A-10. They're not coming from a sugarcoat conference. They're not.
Every
I don't want to play a Big 12 team.
Every night in the Big 12. Every night in the Big 12 is a challenge.
Another
and they have to play each other all twice, whereas in the ACC, you can fill Virginia didn't have to play Duke twice.
No.
I mean, you know,
you take, look at
Big
the bottom
10,
of
the same
Big
thing. Maryland and Wisconsin only played once. I mean,
TCU started the season 13-1. No one wants to play that.
You put TCU in.
No. What?
No, you put them in a different conference.
Yeah.
Right.
They're a bubble team.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
They're in the Conference USA where they were before, you know.
Where you don't have to play Iowa State twice. You don't have to play Kansas twice. You don't have to play Oklahoma twice. You don't have to play Texas twice.
How about West Virginia? Jawan Stanton is an explosive guard.
Is he going to play, though?
Who knows? I want to see him play.
And what are you going to get from him if he plays? So it's
that's one of those. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get with them. They're good, no doubt about it.
Another shaky team, though.
I think so.
I think that East, you could make a case that the top 7 teams could. I wouldn't be shocked. You told me they reached the Final Four. Any of those top 7 teams, I'm not picking my jaw up on the floor. I think Villanova is the weakest one seed. I think Virginia is a little bit vulnerable right now, especially they have to go through Michigan State.
Right.
You got Northern Iowa, who's a very good team. They haven't really been tested as much as the other teams, but you have Northern Iowa, Oklahoma. That's a wide open region.
I mean, you got Providence, who like whatever NBA team gets Chris Dunn next year is going to be pretty happy.
If he leaves next year, that's the thing. Yeah. And the relationship Chris Dunn has had, which he's been very verbal about, with Ed Cooley is spectacular. And Bryce Cotton has said similar things before he left with the media last year. The guards that he brings in just have the bond they have. That entire team, the bond they have is unreal. It's nothing like it to me except for Villanova in the Big East, really. It's the only word I have is it's unreal. But Chris Dunn is a player. He just keeps jumping. He has the D'Angelo Russell effect that he's jumping in those NBA draft boards. Last week before the Villanova game, he was 23rd or 4th on the Draft Express big board. He's 14th today.
Yeah.
So the kid can only put up so many close to triple-double performances while throwing 4 turnovers before somebody recognizes that.
A little more mature than maybe D'Angelo Russell, although D'Angelo Russell, you would say the potential is just ridiculous.
And he's been through the adversity in his career where he's been hurt for a year and he's had all those injuries, but this guy was a McDonald's All-American. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go unnoticed by any way. I mean, at least for like one season.
Yeah. All right, guys, Final Four picks. And your champ.
Zachariah.
Kentucky, I think. I think we got to put Kentucky in there.
Going out on a limb, huh?
Yeah, going out on a big limb. I like Arizona. I think Arizona's just playing so well right now, and they are as close to a complete team other than Kentucky that I see out there. You have T.J. McConnell, who is a great college point guard and plays very good defense. The entire team plays great defense. You have Tarzewski, who could defend Kaminsky in maybe an Elite Eight matchup as well as anyone. I'm really praying to see that Wisconsin-Arizona game again. I think that was the best game of the tournament last year, I think. Or there were a lot of good games last year, so maybe let's not say that. But
Michigan
it was
Wolverines.
Yeah, my Michigan Wolverines were in a few of them. but I would put Arizona in there. The East is like we just talked about, the one that's given me the most trouble. I like Virginia as much as I've questioned them. And
didn't
and
you just tell me a while ago Michigan State?
I said they could beat them, and I'm saying I'm really looking forward to that.
Hedging his bets there, huh?
Yeah, I'm hedging hard. But I like Virginia. Defense is going to win out, although that Michigan State game is going to be very tough. But once they get past there, that region is theirs for the taking, I think. And then Duke, as my fourth, they're just too talented with Okafor. I don't see Gonzaga beating them. I think that's going to be a...
That's not what Dickie V says.
I know. I can't go against Dickie V, but yeah. I like Duke. I like Kentucky, Arizona, Virginia, Duke. That's my four.
Who's your champ?
The champ is obviously Kentucky. Coach I think Cal. Anyone who doesn't say Kentucky, Tyler...
What's up?
is fooling themselves, because Kentucky is the most physically dominant team I have probably seen in college basketball. You look at, maybe not ever,
but in their era, yeah, maybe.
I would say so. I think you take some teams that had some 4-year seniors and played them against Kentucky, yeah, they'd probably win. But in their era, you look at Kentucky's team, it's like grown men playing against their son. Yeah. They at every single position, yeah, they have a head and about a foot of shoulder length on the guy they're matched up against. They are so big. They are talented. They are tested from last year, and they've shown. I know we've knocked their guards a little bit, but their guards came to play. Harrison came to play last year in the tournament against Michigan, against Wisconsin. They are tested. I think anyone who doesn't take Kentucky, Tyler, is a little bit fooling themselves.
And the thing is that I probably am fooling myself. Kentucky is an amazingly dominant team. It comes down to the guards for me. And I want to see that Maryland matchup. But if they get past Maryland, I mean, that road is going to be hard. Everybody but anybody coming out of the East is going to have a hard road. Maryland, if my prediction comes right and they get past Kentucky, hard road. On the other side, Wisconsin. Wisconsin would have to play Oklahoma State, I think UNC or an Oregon team. That would be a better road, but still an equally hard road. Then Duke coming out of the South. Duke playing that first round game. Then a St. John's or San Diego State. Then a Georgetown team or an SMU team, an Iowa State team or a Gonzaga team. That's going to be a tough road for Duke to get there, but Duke's my national champion. That's the other thing, and that's only because I don't have Kentucky in that bracket, even though I would love to see a Kentucky-Duke matchup. I've got Duke. I mean, and the thing that I acquaint to Kentucky for their success is also what I'm going to acquaint to Duke, is the fact that you have a great mixture of not only young, one-and-done kind of guys, five-star talent, and great coaching, but you couple that with the fact that you have some experience on that roster as well. So with Duke, it's all the five stars who are just extremely, extremely talented. Jahlil Okafor might be the best center prospect since Boogie Cousins. And then Emil Jefferson, who's a great rim stopper, 7 feet tall, great wingspan if we're talking about that at all. Quinn Cook has the experience of any guard in America, has been a showstopper all year long, improved his three-point shot. Tyus Jones, one of the most really well-complete pick-and-roll point guards there is. So
Justice Winslow is one of the
best players in the country in transition as well, and plays great perimeter defense. So
he could be a lottery pick this year.
He's supposed to be a lottery pick this year.
His head's not all that way in it sometimes, it seems.
But he's got the pedigree. His pop was five slamma jamma. You know, yeah. you love that. You love that. So Duke, for me, my final four is Duke, Virginia, Maryland, and Wisconsin. Duke plays Wisconsin for a championship game. There's no way anyone wins by more than five. No way at all.
Well, I would love to see Duke do that. I'm very curious to see if Coach K can get Okafor involved on or excited about playing defense in the tournament.
Awake.
I mean, these are his last, you know, 1-6 games so at Duke. So it'd be interesting to see.
At least two games. Yeah. 16's not going to be the one.
Yeah. Very true.
No love for Robert Morris.
No.
Or North Florida.
North Florida. Come on.
North Florida. Yeah. I'm a little surprised North Florida's in there. All right. Anyway, my four is Kentucky, Arizona. Arizona and Wisconsin will have another great battle in that Elite Eight.
I'm so pumped for that. I really hope that happens.
In that Elite Eight, maybe it'll go to overtime, and this time there won't be rioting in Tucson for the wrong reason.
They'll still be rioting, though.
Yeah. I have Villanova coming out of the East. It was more of just like who the lesser of the problems, I think, in my eyes. And I have Iowa State coming out of the South. I think they pose a great mismatch problem for Gonzaga, and then Duke as well. I think they've already, by winning, you know, by going through the Big 12 season and then the Big 12 tournament, they've already, it's like they've already won a couple of NCAA tournaments just to get here. So I'm looking, and I have like Iowa State losing to Kentucky in the final.
I am a big Duke fan and have been for years, and that is my final as well. Kentucky beating Iowa State. Iowa State is playing fantastic. They're on a roll. I hate doing that, but I got to go with my head and not my heart. my other two, Wisconsin and Villanova, I don't see anybody beating them. I've got Baylor in the Elite Eight against Wisconsin. I'd love to see that game.
Yeah.
But Arizona, Wisconsin would be awfully fun too.
It's like every team that
don't take that away from me.
But you think of all, you look at all these, and God, I want to see that game in the Elite Eight or in the Sweet 16, right. And
never happens.
No, how often?
Can't get them all.
No. Yeah. The damn
Georgia will beat Michigan State in the first round, and
right.
Rabos of Virginia, Michigan State.
LSU will beat North Carolina State. And
I mean, don't look my way.
Didn't you pick North Carolina State?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you picked Maryland, so.
Hey, I did.
He's got the hipster bracket over there.
Like I said, I'm out here for the jokes. I'm trying to get these jokes off.
Right.
I would love to see it, though. I want to see Kentucky get pushed. I want to see what they do when they respond against a truly elite team. And I can't call any other SEC team besides them elite. I mean, Arkansas's up there, but that's.
They're, yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
They were in the tournament last year.
And Bobby Portis, they are a stud.
He is. All right, I got one more thing here I want to talk about and see what y'all think about this. Do you like the current format of the tournament? Yes or no? If no, what would you change about it?
Would probably change the fact that all the journalists who go to the NCAA tournament have to have NCAA-certified cups. If you're listening, Mr. Committee Member, I would like a Dr. Pepper with a Dr. Pepper bottle. Simple. It's just hashtag brands. I don't really know why they do that. Other than that, the format's fine. I mean, we're watching 68, 32, whatever math does, games of college basketball. At the peak time of college basketball where everybody's hot and you want to see your favorite team go out and just wreck stuff. So I got no issues with it. Plus, you know, I love TV, so can't get any more of that.
Yeah, I don't want to see it go to like 96 teams like some people have been proposing. I don't want to see a team that went 16-15 in a mid-major conference, you know, have a chance to get to a Sweet 16.
Before.
You know, I mean, it's – yeah, exactly. The conference tournament is the outer bracket. I mean, especially in a mid-major and the smaller school conferences. But I'm very happy with this. March, it's like Christmas to me. You know, I mean, like last night was Christmas morning. We got to see – what the tournament looks like, you know, with Selection Sunday.
Then you get to complain about all your toys.
Right. And we'll see which ones get broken and thrown in the corner and then which ones, you know, like kind of have some staying power. And so it's where's the prediction lay?
Yeah. Don't mess with it. I think we're struggling to put 68 really good teams. Leave it at that. I think it's the most perfect sporting event we have right now. You just look at what happens, and people take off work. People schedule their colonoscopies for March so they can sit on the couch. All that's what happens. It's
vasectomies too.
That too. It's the most perfect sporting event that we've created as humans to date.
Next just to Mayweather Pacquiao.
Don't mess with it.
I've got a couple of changes I would like to see.
All right.
If you're going to change the amount of teams in the tournament, which I don't know if that's even been discussed too much lately.
It has. There was an article that ran this week. I don't know if you guys saw it on SB. Some random blogger from a team site was suggesting 96 games to get University of South Florida into the tournament.
Okay.
It was ridiculous. Absolutely
take
ridiculous.
It back to 64 teams.
I'd be fine with that.
Do 64 right. teams. You've got 32 conferences, 32 conference tournament winners, or 31 plus Ivy, and then you got 32 at large. That is okay with me. Mm-hmm. If you're going to keep it at 68 teams, have the first four or play-in games or whatever they want to call them this year, have those be the last eight at-large teams. Those 16 seeds that have to go play in the play-in games did exactly what the committee said. They went and won their conference tournament. Hampton's got a horrible record. Too bad. They won their conference tournament, but now they're kind of getting penalized. They don't get to go to the big stage. They got to go to Dayton and play.
Yeah.
I would like to see those teams get in the bracket, the main bracket, go to one of the pods, get to do that, experience that, and have the at-large, the last eight at-large teams be the ones that battle it out to get into the main draw.
I have no problem with that.
So that means it's not going to happen, probably.
I mean, we should probably, honestly, just get like 120 teams and just do that.
No.
So that way Murray State can not cry and everything, guys.
I think if it would have been 72, then Murray State had a better chance.
But like 120, let's
or if they go to the preseason NIT format, where even if you lose your first two round games, you still get to go to the...
Right, yeah, let's do it. Full season round robin.
I hate to break it to everyone, even if it was 64 teams, not your idea, but uh-huh. just regular old 64... UCLA is still in the field.
Yeah, you can hush with that now. I think that's about all I've got, guys.
All right.
Anybody got anything else?
You're listening here to TuneIn Studios and follow them on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at TuneIn. Let's get social. You can catch me at your local party. Yes, I grind there every day. Haters get mad because I rock me some baby napes.
All righty then.
Yeah. I don't think we could add to that.
No, I don't think
so.
No. I think that's a good
I might
want
to go to that party.
It's pretty flawless.
Yeah. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you, Shelby.
Next year, we'll see if they let us.
I mean, the sun's just so great out here.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
From New York? Yeah.
From Philly.